So this morning, I want to talk about tests. Tests. How many of you enjoy taking tests? One, two, three people. How many of you despise taking tests? Why is that? What is it about tests that we don't like taking tests? I think I know why. Because it reveals what we know. It reveals who we are. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I take a test, I'm like, oh, I didn't know as much as I thought I did. There's nothing like going to a test, whether it's at school or at work, which they're asking about, how much do you know the content of this subject? And you get to the test and you're like, am I in the right class? You ever been there? Or a driver's test. There's a milestone in your life where you reveal you are worthy to drive on the road. You're not just going to go crazy. Do your own thing. Make up your own laws, your own rules. Or even just tests in your life. Maybe difficult seasons of your life. Life is full of tests. And tests reveal who we are, what we know. And so today, maybe you're in a test, a season of your life where your true character is being revealed because of a difficulty, a hardship. Just talking with friends and talking with many of you, there's a lot going on. And so I want to encourage you with today's words as we look at a passage of scripture that maybe you've heard before, but it's found in Genesis chapter 22, because we see where God tested Abraham. My prayer is that you would be encouraged by this story today that maybe you've heard before, but maybe there's things you overlooked that you didn't even know. We're continuing our series and wrapping up our series called Origins. This is the last week, week 9, of a series through the book of Genesis, looking at the beginning. That's what Genesis means. The origin of where it all started, where it went wrong, and sin entered the scene, just three chapters in. And then where do we go from here? What's God's plan? Very relevant to our life. And one of my favorite passages and one of my favorite books is Genesis. It gives purpose and identity and meaning to see the bigger picture of what's happening and what God has in store. And so the context for today, if you want to take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 22. The context of where we're landing here is we've looked the last couple weeks about, looked at Abraham's life and his faith journey of following God and what it means. And what we're looking at today, this scene in Genesis 22, takes place about 25 to 35 years, maybe even a little longer, after God made a covenant to Abraham in Genesis 12. When he said, Abraham, I want to make your name great, and I'm going to bless you. And then I'm going to make your descendants great, so great that they will bless the rest of the world. This is my promise to you. That's what we read in Genesis 12, how their relationship began, this faith journey. And so up to this point, there have been many tests in Abraham's life, many that he passed and many, many that he failed. But the whole time, God was with Abraham. He discipled him. He was preparing him for what he prepared for him. He didn't give him all the answers up front. He said, hey, just go to that place, and I'll tell you what to do from there. And so Abraham knew that God was with him, and God was forming him into his likeness, into his character, as he was leading his descendants, which eventually was the lineage of Jesus coming into the world. And as we talked about throughout the book of Genesis, even last week, God shows us throughout the book of Genesis that cycle. Remember the cycle? God's goodness, man's sin, the consequences of sin, and then God's grace. That God is patient with us, that he desires to be in relationship with us, to reveal himself to us more and more. And his plan will succeed despite our shortcomings as we trust in him. So all this sets the stage for today's text, what I'm going to call Abraham's final exam. Some of you cringed when I just said that, right? This is his final exam. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. It says this, that sometime later, God tested Abraham. Would you say the word tested with me? Tested. One more time. He tested Abraham. He said, Abraham, here I am. Abraham replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Now, before we continue and stop right there, I just want to say right up front, be very clear, that God is not about child sacrifice. This is important because in that time, there were other countries, other regions, other nations around Abraham and the Israelites that were sacrificing children. So as uncomfortable as it is for us because it's not common, it was very common back in the day. It was something that other nations would do towards for false gods or to try to appease and worship the gods that were not God himself. And so this is kind of an awkward but yet similar thing for Abraham. He's like, probably thinking, what? We're not like them. We're set apart. We're different. And you want me to do what? God is not about child sacrifice. So it begs to ask the question, why would God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son? The answer? To test and see if Abraham truly trusted God. Now, as we mentioned earlier, tests reveal who we are. They reveal what we know and reveal what we believe to be true. And so God needed to know that Abraham was at a point in his faith and his relationship with God where he could move forward, that God could move forward in Abraham's life and in his descendants with the promise and the plan that he told him about. And this plan was, again, using Abraham and his bloodline, his descendants, to bring about, ultimately, the Messiah, Jesus, into this world. And so God needed to make sure that Abraham was all in. Pushing the chips to the middle of the table. I'm all in. I trust you. And God wanted to see that he was first, that he was the number one priority in Abraham's life. He wanted to see where Abraham truly put his faith, put his trust. Was it in his treasure? Was it in his possessions? Was it even in his closest relationships? His son, Isaac, the promised one that he waited a decade to receive. Actually, more than a decade, a century. Decades and decades to receive. Isaac, the promised child. So God is a jealous God who wants all of our hearts. He wants to be first in our lives. He doesn't want second place. He wants to be Lord of our lives. And so if you're taking notes, the first point of today is this, that God tests us to see if he is first in our lives. There's a series of tests in our lives. Not that every test is from God, but God will even use tests to reveal who we are, what we know, what we believe to be true. So we see this in the Old Testament. This idea that God wants to be first, if you look and you know the Ten Commandments, the first commandment is when God says, you shall have no other gods before me. And then in the New Testament, Jesus reiterates this point too. He says this, Matthew 11:37, in a very practical way, he says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or their daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So even Jesus knew the people closest to us can often take the place of God himself. And God knows that there are many things in our lives, even good things in our lives, in direct competition with him in our hearts. And so this is the test that Abraham is facing. It's what I'm calling the lordship test. This test will reveal what Abraham believes about God, about what's most important in his life, and about who Abraham is, his final exam. Now let's continue the story. Notice how Abraham responds to God's question of, or even command of, sacrificing his son, picking up in verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and he loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. Okay, so let's stop right there. Now, if I were Abraham, I don't know about you, but I would have responded back to God's command to sacrifice my son by firing off a number of questions to God. God, what is happening right now? Don't you know how long I've waited for my son, Isaac, to be born? This is your promise that you gave to me, that I would be the father of the nations through a son of my own. And now you want me to kill him? Are you kidding me? This is crazy. What about your plan? Or I would have given a dozen reasons why sacrificing my son was just not a good idea. God, that's not in your character. But notice Abraham's response. The scripture says that early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, and his two servants, he took his son, he took the wood needed to sacrifice him, and set out for the mountain of Moriah. Now, don't overlook this point, because this is very important. Abraham responded to God by taking the next step of obedience, and he did it immediately. He didn't question. He didn't debate. He doesn't take a week to think about it. Let me get back to you, God. I'm going to pray about doing that. No, he simply trusts and he obeys. He says, God, I'll take you at your word. Even though it doesn't make sense, even though I don't understand, even though I've got a lot of questions that surround it, I'm going to head out to the place that you're calling me to go. In fact, it's very interesting because we hear, the next time that we hear that Abraham speaks isn't until 3 days later. That's recorded in Scripture. And I get the sense that on that journey of walking with the servants and the wood and everything needed for the sacrifice and his son Isaac next to him, with each step, I can only imagine that Abraham is intentionally processing God's strange requests silently to himself. To God, I don't understand, but I trust you. Why would you want, but I trust you. Abraham was most likely reassuring himself every step of the way. God is good. He's faithful. I've seen it in the past. I've witnessed it in the past. He can be trusted. Even when it doesn't make sense, he's faithful. See, whenever God asks us to do something, we have a choice. We could either obey him or disobey him. You don't have to understand it to obey him, but you can take that next step, that first step of obedience. And so Abraham responded to God's instruction to sacrifice his son Isaac with instant obedience. The next day, he got up and immediately put his faith, his trust in God into action. Let's pick up in verse 4. It says this, on the third day, after 3 days of journeying, talk about awkward, with Isaac and the servants, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and he said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood, they're here. They're here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide for the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, and he arranged the wood on it, and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. All right, wow, let's stop right there. A lot just happened. He set out, and then we just read the occurrence, the conversations that were had. Now, there's something very important I want to point out here about this story that maybe you've missed. It's something that I missed even the first so many times when I first read it. But there's sometimes when we know a biblical story really, really well, we often miss the important details leading up to the actual climax of the story that we've fail to catch a glimpse of even what the story is, even at a bigger scale. I want to point something out to you. Did you notice that 3 days into the journey, there are two separate conversations that take place that we just read about? The words that Abraham uses, they prove that he trusts God even in uncertain circumstances. His wording, before he even went to sacrifice his son, shows he trusts God. We could see Abraham's faith in both his words and his actions. Let me show them to you real quick. The first conversation is when Abraham talks to his servants, when he tells them to wait with the donkey, that he and Isaac will go up to the mountain to worship. It's in verse 5. Listen to this. It'll be on the screen. Maybe you missed it. Abraham's words. He says, we, Isaac and I, talking to his servants, will worship, and then, say it with me, we, not I, we will come back to you. That's faith. I'm going to go kill him, is what he's thinking in his head. But we'll come back. Both of us will come back. Now, we could presume that Abraham knows God's not going to make him kill Isaac. because in doing so, many theologians believe, well, that's outside of God's character. We believe that's outside of God's character. So maybe Abraham was like, I'm going to get there, and then he's going to have you stop. But still, that's some faith. But he was going to do it. His desire was to go through with it, and he was going to wait till God did something. That's one outcome that many scholars believe happened. Or another is this. We presume that Abraham knows God's not going to make him kill Isaac, because if Isaac were to follow through and do exactly what God said and kill him, slay his son, sacrifice Isaac, Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac back to life. You might be thinking, where do you get that from? That sounds crazy. Well, can I show you? I believe that too. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 says this. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Isn't that interesting? Did you ever catch that before? I noticed the second conversation, not just with the servants, but Abraham shows faith in God with his words in conversation with his son Isaac. I can only imagine the awkward 3 days of them walking with the servants, this hike up the mountain in silence, and then Isaac, his son, speaks up, Dad, we have the fire, we've got the wood, we've got the knife, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Talk about awkward. Abraham replies by saying, son, God will supply. God will supply the sacrifice. Now, Abraham was over 100 years old. Isaac, we believe to be somewhere between a teenager to 30 years old, somewhere in that range. We're not talking a little boy. And so there was definitely logic in the scene. There was definitely reason. They're not just talking to some kid. And kids are actually really smart anyway, so even if it was a kid. In fact, my kids are smarter than me, so I digress. But talk about awkward. But even though Abraham did not know exactly what was going to happen, he knew based on God's past faithfulness that he could trust God even in the present unusual circumstances and situations. See, Abraham shows his confidence in unwavering trust in God, believing that God is indeed good, that his plan is best, even when it doesn't make sense. And don't miss this point. Isaac himself trusted his elderly father, Abraham as well, who, like I said, was well over 100 years old. And as Abraham builds an altar, arranges the wood, and then binds his son, Isaac, somewhere probably 20-ish, maybe even 30, could have easily overpowered his elderly dad in self-defense. Say, Dad, what are you doing? Stop. You're not doing this. But instead, he did not. He submitted. He trusted his dad, not even knowing what his dad was doing. His dad didn't say anything. He just said, God will provide. So Isaac submits to his father's will, trusting him the entire time, just as Abraham submitted to his heavenly father's will and command. Let's wrap up the story in verse 10. But then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham! Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And then Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and took the ram, and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So just before Abraham was about to slay his son, God sent an angel to step in saying, Abraham, stop, enough. Don't touch the boy. Now I know you fear God, that God is first in your life. Even over a good thing, even over the promised child that you've been waiting for decades and decades and decades. Abraham, you passed the test. You proved your faith, your trust in God, not withholding his son and revealing that he truly was surrendered to God. In the same way, for you and for me, God wants us to trust him with a faith fully surrendered to him, all in for him, saying, God, whatever you want, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't know all the details, I trust you. God provided Abraham with this substitute sacrifice, a ram, who was then sacrificed as a burnt offering in the place of Isaac. And they worshiped. God did indeed provide. And Abraham then names this exact spot, the Lord will provide. And this is where we get one of the names of God, the name Jehovah Jireh, which means God provides. And it's interesting because God's names, they tell us about his character. They tell us about his actions, about who he is. And the reason that God tested Abraham was to find out where his heart was. And Abraham's response was in a way that revealed that he knew God's character in the past. He said, God, you've been good. You've been faithful. So I know, even though I don't know now, you will be good. I'll just take your lead. I'll follow your lead. And through the last 25 plus years of being in relationship with God, Abraham knew God could be trusted, that his plan was best. And it's interesting, you think about tests. I think about the tests that I've taken in my life. Those are milestones in my life. Things that I remember, points in my life, in my faith journey where I'm like, wow. Some of them good, some of them hard, some of them bad, some of them I failed, but I'm like, that's a milestone that God has used for me to look back, the good ones, to say, oh, wow, he helped me there, so he's going to help me here, so he can help me there. That's how he works. So in this story, God needed to know if he could trust Abraham. And then through this story, we learn that God did. Listen to this. We learn through this story that God did what he didn't make Abraham do. See, this story is pointing to something much greater than just Abraham and Isaac. Abraham is a picture of God who sacrificed his one and only son, Jesus, for us. That Isaac is a picture of Jesus who willingly laid down his life, gave his life as a sacrifice for us. And can you imagine? Scholars believe, think about this. It is believed that on this same mountain where this scene took place is where Jesus was believed to be sacrificed and crucified for us. The Lord will provide. This picture of this scene is so much bigger than just that moment. It is the place where the ultimate perfect Lamb of God was sacrificed for us. This same location, thousands of years later, would be the very place where the Father, God, took his son Jesus, who humbled himself, surrendered to the Father's will, could have pushed back, could have said, what are you doing? This doesn't make sense. He became obedient to death. To be the substitutionary sacrifice for all people, for all nations, for all time. And Jesus, like Isaac, also willingly surrendered to his Father's will to carry the wood, his cross, to this place of sacrifice, to pay the penalty of sin and death for all who put their faith and trust in him. And anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, in his saving work of the cross, is forgiven and made right with him by faith through grace. It's crazy. God is good. So what about you? What about you and your faith journey? Now, in the passages that we just read and as we looked over the last couple weeks over Abraham's life, and they're all online that you can see and see how this relationship developed and how God revealed himself and showed his faithfulness and goodness. Abraham had time. That's what it takes sometimes, just to build, like any relationship, time to see God's faithfulness and to be introduced and to walk with him and journey with him and ask questions along the way. But maybe you're just at the beginning of your relationship with God. Or even better yet, I want to ask you a question. Maybe for you today, maybe you don't even know God. Do you know God? Or maybe you're like me. When I was in high school, I went to church, grew up in the church. I knew a lot about God, but I didn't know God. I could tell you verses. I could tell you what he's done for people. But it became real when I was in college, and I understood who God is, his goodness, how much he loved me, how much he forgives me. So Abraham, he talked with God, and maybe you're not even sure, how do you talk to God? How do you listen to God? How do you hear God's voice? How do you participate with the Holy Spirit? I want you to know it's okay to not know that right now. It's okay to be here. We want you to be here, to journey with us, to know and experience what it means to be in relationship with God. And that's what Becky mentioned earlier. A great place to begin is with the class that we're doing next week, for the next 5 weeks, starting next Sunday at 9 a.m., the Begin class. That's a great place to begin, to have conversations with others, to say, here's what it means to have a relationship with God. Here's how God speaks through his word and through people who know him and love him. And here's what prayer is, this gift that God's given us. And he wants us to follow him in baptism, to literally follow his steps in baptism. So the Begin class, I want to invite you today to know God. You can begin today by asking Christ, his son, Jesus, to come into your life, to surrender to him. Maybe you know God, but maybe the second question I want to ask for some of you is, what is God asking you to do or asking you to offer to him as a sacrifice? Maybe you've known God a while. Maybe you have followed him and you love him, but over time, other things have taken his place in your life. God's asking you to realign your priorities, that God knows and he desires us to be, for him to be the first priority in our life. Maybe like Abraham, you're tempted to put your kids in front of God or other relationships ahead of God. I've done this in my own life, that even good things I've put in front of God, but God's saying even today, by a gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit, it's like, where am I? Where do I stand in your relationship with me? God's asking us to make him first in our lives. And you have him first, everything else falls in place. Every other relationship, everything, how we view what we have and all that's happening in the world makes more sense when he's first. So what is God asking you to offer to him as a sacrifice? Or lastly, maybe for you, the question I need to ask you is, what's the right next step for you in your spiritual journey? Maybe you've walked with God, you're growing in your faith, you've seen milestones of his goodness, his faithfulness over the years, just like Abraham, but maybe you're in a season where you sense that God is asking you to trust him in a way that you never have before. And maybe you're feeling a little overwhelmed. It's a little scary. And you just don't know. You're uncomfortable in your faith. Maybe there's circumstances that are affecting that, or maybe just the decision that you've made and you're just not sure. Can I assure you? It's okay. Because he's with you. And he's for you. And even though you might be facing this test in your life, maybe it's a physical health thing, because I know many of you are facing that. I see the prayer requests, or a family member that's going through that. My sister's going through that. My dad's going through that. And you've never been in this spot before. Or maybe it's relating with your job or your career or a relationship, someone that's close to you. And you just don't know. And maybe things aren't going as you planned. They're just not making sense. And it's easy to just say, God, why? What's going on? And it's okay to ask those questions. But I want you to know, take heart. God is still God. That he is good. That he is faithful. And just because Abraham didn't have an itinerary of exactly how things were going to go, he didn't know how the story would play out. Instead, He took that next step, one step at a time. He loaded up his stuff in the morning. It didn't make sense. He could have had every reason to argue, but he said, I trust you. God will provide. God's good. So I want to encourage you in that, no matter where you are at. He's for you. He's got the best in store. He's got good plans. He wants to reveal himself to you. Maybe this season of this testing in your life isn't even from him. Maybe it's something else. Can I encourage you? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust, have faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, look to him, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths because he's good. He's faithful. So God is saying, maybe in this season for you, do you trust me? You can trust me. You can trust me. How can we help you take your next step? Maybe for you, it's receiving Christ. I want to do that with you now. Maybe for you, the first time, to introduce him to you. Follow me as I follow him. Maybe you don't have faith, borrow mine, because he's got the best in store. Or maybe for you, you have to sacrifice something. Maybe it's a person, a thing, a possession. I'm just ask you, just lay that down. Say, God, maybe symbolically as we pray, you just open your hands. Maybe a fist at first, you open your hands. Say, God, I give you everything. I acknowledge everything is from you and to you and through you, and my heart is directed toward things that I see or I control more than you. Or maybe for you, it's that opportunity in this season of difficulty to say, God, I trust you. Even in this, I trust you. You will provide at the right time, in the right way. Not my timeline, not my will, your will be done. So let's pray. God, I thank you for the story of Abraham. I thank you for the stories that we read about of the people in Genesis as we've done this series. You time and time again show us your goodness, your provision, your faithfulness, your mercy, your grace. As we see this cycle that we talked about last week, even when our sin gets in the way and we feel the consequences of our sin or other people's sin, you are still good. That you and your grace even make what the enemy wants to use to steal, kill, and destroy. Just like even with your son, Jesus, you bring it about to bring incredible life and hope and joy. That's just how you work. And so maybe there's someone here this morning that they would choose Jesus to follow you, to say, I put my trust in you. It's a matter of just confessing with your mouth, saying, Jesus, I believe. And believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. And you begin this journey of being alive in Christ. Following a leader who gave everything to give us life. Or maybe for someone here, there's a sacrifice that they need to make. That even a good thing. Or maybe something that's become an idol. God, I confess, forgive me, forgive us. We repent of the things that we put in front of you. Our passions, our desires, relationships, possessions. That God, you would be first and foremost. And that everything else would grow strangely dim. And that your kingdom would come. And as you are in the right place, everything else makes more sense. And all my other relationships are better because of that, because I see everything through you and your love for me. God, maybe there's someone here just in a difficult testing season. I pray for freedom of burden. I pray that you give courage. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's faithful. God, you're good. So I pray for this burden of having to try to control things we can't control, that we trust you with all of our hearts. Lean not on our own understandings. But look to you, surrender to you, and know that you will direct our steps. All across this room, just pray freedom. For the Spirit of the Lord is there's freedom, and that we would take just the next step that you're asking us to take, and that's it in this moment. We would obey one step as we follow you on this journey, becoming more like you. So God, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the story of Abraham and Isaac, which really points to the story of you, God, our Heavenly Father, and you, Jesus, who gave your life for us. Didn't have to. I'm so glad you did. We love you. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's stand. We want to sing about God's good plans. He's faithful in the past.